Spirit, one voice, the sound of one who makes a choice. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of voices too. The sound of me singing with you, helping each other to make it through. This is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices too.
We're very blessed in this church to have nearly 120 active children and youth involved in our religious education and youth programs. Today we acknowledge the role that the greater community, particularly church community like this one, has in raising our children to be fine adults. I'd like to invite Pat Sorn now to come and light our chalice. And as after she does, Michelle and I are going to share what we believe is important for our children to know, to learn, and experience. And I'm going to invite you then to respond, "It takes a village."
It is important for our children to know that they are cared for, to know that they are part of a larger family, an important part of a bigger human picture.
It takes a village to raise a child. It's important for our children to believe in themselves, to trust in themselves, to know that they can make a difference.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to know our Unitarian Universalist principles, to find ways to live them in their daily lives, and to realize that the choices they make are important.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to be able to speak about our faith, to honor its history and its heritage, and to appreciate its heroes and heroines.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to explore religious truth and meaning in the Jewish, Christian, and other world religions, and to know that ours is a religion worth having.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to experience the spirit of life, to feel a sense of awe at the grandeur of the world, and to live lives of empathy and compassion.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to have fun together and with us, to have wonderful memories of this place, to know the value of religious community.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to understand that life has its challenges as well as its rewards, and to have the tools to handle both.
It takes a village to raise a child. It is important for our children to know that it's good and worthwhile to have their own journey, and to know deep in their hearts that wherever that journey takes them, they will always have a loving home here.
It takes a village to raise a child. And in this village, our children learn, and we all learn, that we can make a difference. And now our youngest children's choir, our children's choir, will now affirm that for us in song. And we will try.
Once upon a time, in a church building not unlike our own, actually, it is our own, a church member, let's call her Dorothy, found an FPC RE registration form on the floor and wondered,
I wonder if I can be an RE volunteer.
Suddenly, from behind the pulpit, out popped Danielle, the good witch of RE.
You can ask the RE wizard to help you. Just follow the yellow brick road.
So Dorothy does just that, and while doing so, comes upon a tin man who asks her,
Where are you going?
I want to be an RE volunteer. I'm going to the Good Wizard of RE.
Oh, I've never taught. It's much too much work. It's too hard. Too much planning.
Suddenly, Munchkins pop up along the road with a message on a lollipop saying,
You get a prepared lesson every week and all your materials are provided.
See, Tin Man, you don't need a lot of extra time.
I think I'll go with you and learn more about volunteering and teaching in RE.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of RE.
While traveling, Dorothy and the Tin Man come upon a lion.
Where are you going?
We're going to see the wonderful Wizard of RE.
I've never taught before, and I don't know how to teach. I'm afraid to try.
More Munchkins pop up with messages on their lollipops that say,
It's not like teaching in a classroom. It's much easier.
There are always two teachers in a room, and new teachers can always work with seasoned teachers.
That doesn't sound so scary. I think I'll come along to hear more.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of RE.
The three of them come upon a scarecrow.
Where are you three going?
We're going to see the Wizard of RE. We want to become RE volunteers.
I'm new to you, and I don't know if I could find my brain and be able to teach.
More munchkins pop up with messages on their lollipops that say,
"Each curriculum has a teacher guide with background information that helps.
Michelle, our director of religious education, will always be there to help you."
I really want to come along.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of RE.
All four arrive at the wizard's curtain. There is a great thunderclap.
I am the great and powerful Wizard of RE, and I know why you are here.
Oh, great and powerful RE Wizard, can we become RE volunteers?
Of course you're welcome to teach here at FBC, and you all have special gifts to share. New Tin Man, a heart-shaped clock. Two, as a reminder, that it doesn't take a lot of time to be prepared to teach RE, and the real gift is not planning, but in the time spent connecting with our youth. To you, Lion, I award you this chalice of courage. Don't be afraid to teach. You bring yourself to the children, and that is your true gift. And to you, Scarecrow, I award a diploma that represents your ability to learn and to share. To learn and to share. You don't need to know everything. Other than holding it right side up, you just need a willingness to learn along with the children. And now to you, Dorothy. You have everything you need to be an RE volunteer. In fact, everyone in this community has a gift that can be shared in RE. The truth is that to keep this light burning, we need the energy and support of this community. Dorothy, Tin Man, Lion, Scarecrow, you can lead our children to RE with your life.
Thank you. Okay. I'd like to share with you a poem by Mary Oliver, which I find personally useful in my own practice, at leading myself into times of reflection and meditation and prayer. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together, and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak.
Your children.
Thank you, choir. It was wonderful. Did a workshop with Asai Barnwell once and with a bunch of ministers, and she had all this music written out, and she said, you know why I have this music? It's to try and help you white people sing. So it was great to see you sing it without the music, because that's what she intended. You did great. You did great. All right, the sermon. In the past week, I've had the occasion to interact with three wonderful young adults. One of them was applying to a seminary to begin study to become a minister. The other two had just made the decision to get married. One lives in California, the other two in Brooklyn, New York. But they had something in common. Something that helped to make them the fine adults that they are today. And what is it? It is that this village, the first parish of Stowe and Acton, helped to raise them. That young couple told me that it was easy to determine where they were going to get married. The wedding's not going to be in Brooklyn, where they both live. But here at First Parish next fall, even though we'll probably be going through some messy construction at that time. Why? Because they told me they met here. They learned about who each other really was here in our religious education program. Here they learned what they believed and valued. They said to me, because of the Unitarian piece, the First Parish piece, we knew a lot about what kind of a person the other was. And we learned what we wanted out of a relationship. Even though they've not been here in many years, they're having their wedding here because this place, this faith tradition, this community is important to them because it helped them discover who they are. What happened here over the years in our religious education program guided them to find the person they wanted to be their partner for life. For me, this is a very powerful testament as to why we put the effort we do into our RE program. And that other person whom I mentioned earlier, a young woman who's applying to seminary and for whom I wrote a letter of recommendation this week, shared these words with me in an email. When I reflect on my personal development and vocational calling, I feel so grateful for all the ways that FPC supported and encouraged me to grow. Through countless opportunities such as religious education, senior youth group, coming of age, OWL, service trips to New Orleans, and tutoring youth in Roxbury with the Urban Ministry, I received a strong foundation in UU values, self-awareness, environmental stewardship, and positive social change. I would feel honored to someday serve a community such as FPC in a ministerial capacity. And folks, that's just this week. I meet people all the time that grew up in this community, and they usually acknowledge how important the programs that this church offered, from then they mention them, from religious education to choir to music to mummers play to owl to youth group to senior discussion group to the Christmas Eve services to the flower communion services to the message for all ages that we share in church each week. I hear those listed, and they say how important they were. They often go on to say how significant the connections to a teacher or a mentor or a youth leader or a minister were in their formation. What we do is important in the life of every child. But I've also come to see how it's particularly important in the life of some children who face extra challenges. I've seen it here, and so have you, if you've been coming for a while. You've seen kids who are different, for whatever reason. You've seen them be affirmed and blossom here in this community. We don't get it right every single time, but we do the best we can to affirm the equal dignity and worth of every child, not just the popular ones or the athletic ones or the smart ones or the beautiful ones, every child. I was thinking this week a lot about just what it is that makes our program for children and youth, or our programs for children and youth, what they are. And I boiled it down to three things. They all begin with the letter C, so easy to remember. The first is content. Even at a very early stage, we're providing a lot more than just child care on Sunday morning. Our program is full of age-appropriate theological, philosophical, moral, and historical content. But we do not indoctrinate our children into rigid beliefs. What we teach them is more important. If I can continue with a comparison of our church to a village, ours is a fishing village. We don't just give our children a fish and say, "Eat this." We teach them how to fish. And we teach them that there's not just one way to do it, but more than one way. Amen. You should try that once in a while, you know? This is not something that's new to our tradition either. At its core, it's at the core of this tradition. Nearly 200 years ago, William Ellery Channing put it this way. The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own. Not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth. Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs. Not to bind them by ineradicable prejudices to a particular sect or particular notions, but to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subject may be offered to their decision. Not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought. Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment. In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish the spiritual life. You know, during this month, March, I'll be meeting with each of our youth involved in the Coming of Age program to discuss with them what truth they have discovered or are discovering in themselves. This Coming of Age program, year-long program, in some ways is like confirmation in other churches. It's about becoming an adult Unitarian Universalist. But there's a big difference. We don't tell our youth, this is what you must believe. Instead, we teach our youth about all kinds of beliefs and values and ways to see the world. And then we say, go deep within yourself and tell us what speaks to you. What is true for you? What inspires you, motivates you, guides you? What principles will be your life principles? What practices will sustain your spirit? The beliefs that our children develop here, that they make their own here, really matter in the quality of their personal lives. But more than that, they matter to the greater society. They will at least in part determine the way they will give to the world, even the way, dare I say, that they will save some little piece of the world. One of our great religious educators of the past, Sophia Lyons Foss, put it this way. Some beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged. Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way to wider and deeper sympathies. Some beliefs are like shadows, clouding children's days with fears of unknown calamities. Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with warmth of happiness. Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies. Other beliefs are bonds in a world community where sincere differences beautify the pattern. Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction. Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for exploration. Some beliefs weaken a person's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness. Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth. Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in a changing world. Other beliefs are pliable, like a young sapling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life. It matters what our children believe. It matters what we teach them and how we interact with them and the examples we set for them. And that brings me to the next C. This one stands for community. Ours is an intergenerational community. As I mentioned in the sermon last week on how we treat our elders, church is one of the last truly intergenerational institutions that there is. I watched our kids last week interact with elders during our tea ceremony, and I felt how important the connection of the total community is. What we offer to our children is above all else acceptance as who they are. We teach them how to be together as a community. Sometimes people will say to me, how do you deal with the noisy, excited kids in church every Sunday? Well, for the most part, I revel in it. Now, sure, there are times when a parent needs to take a child out because the child's behavior gets to the point where it's really disrupting the service. But most of the time, I really am fine with a little competition. I think of the story told in the Christian Gospels about Jesus teaching his disciples trying to keep the kids away from him and keep them from bothering him. And he told them, stop that. Let the children come. Here, it's more important that the children of our church feel welcome than it is to have perfect order in the service. Now, if you're a parent, please think about how important this village is to your child's future. Yes, we teach wonderful, important things about theology, morals, ethics, sexuality, and much more. We give kids resources which help them to handle life's challenges now and in the future. But nothing we do is more important than our affirmation of a child's worth and dignity and the acceptance of them for whom they are. And a lot of churches do not do that. Parents, I know sometimes you struggle with getting your kids to go to church. You play the I don't want to go to church game on Sunday morning. And I'm not a parent, so maybe I'm not the best person to give advice on this. But it saddens me that sometimes it's just so clear to me that the child or youth that probably needs our community the most is the one who's not getting here regularly. Children often don't understand that they need a church village like ours. We have to understand that for them. For your child to get the benefits of this village, they've got to be here. If they're not comfortable in an RE class or comfortable with some other activity they're involved with here, talk to Michelle. There is a lot that she can do. If at a certain age they would rather stay in church or sing in the adult choir, that's fine too. The message and the village is everywhere here. I always find it ironic when I see the child who protested the most about coming to church running around at coffee hour having a great time. And I'll sometimes ask him or her, how was church or RE this morning? And I almost always get the same answer. Great. Yes, content's important. But just being here regularly with other kids and adults is so very important. You know, it is not easy to be a child. Kids will face tough and cruel times. There will be moments of challenge for every child. We cannot prevent that, and we cannot be there in every situation to intervene. But what we can do and try to do is be that village for a child to grow up where they again and again hear the message of acceptance, where their inherent dignity and worth is affirmed, and where they acquire resources that will serve them well in life. If we do nothing else right as a church, if we can do this, if we can be that village, that community, we will affect more lives in more ways than we could ever imagine. It takes work to do this. And that brings me to the final C on my list. And that C is for commitment. Since I have been here, institutionally, we have greatly expanded our commitment to children and youth. We have moved to a full-time director of religious education from a very part-time one, and a youth coordinator. And it has had very positive impact, not just on the program itself, but on what's required of volunteers, as you heard in that little skit. Today, our professional staff, with the help from the RE committee, plan and do most of the preparation work, so volunteering in the program is much easier than it once was. We have also divided the year into trimesters, so no one needs to teach classes for more than 8 or 9 weeks. And we've expanded the ways members and friends can help do things like assist for a single morning with childcare, or help running an activity, or even providing some healthy food for kids. What I'm saying is that there's a way for every one of us in this village to participate in raising our children. Most of our current RE volunteers are parents, and of course that's important. But I think it says something really special about a church when folks who have no children in the program, whose kids are all grown up and moved away, some who have now grandchildren and even great-grandchildren, give their time to this program. That's happening here. In my own childhood, as I reflect, some of my most formative encounters came from engagement with grandparents, an elder neighbor, and a retired teacher. It says something equally important about us when kids who've gone through our program and now are in their upper teens or even in their 20s come and volunteer in that program. It says that we're in this together. Together, we're committed to the task. Today, we begin RE registration for the next church year. And whether or not you're a parent of a child in the program, I hope you will drop by the RE extravaganza, as they're calling it, at coffee hour today. And I have a challenge for you. Think of one way you could do something for this part of the life of the church. Maybe you can teach or help a teacher, or maybe you can offer a special skill like art or music to our program. Maybe you can help in the nursery or with a Halloween party, or maybe you can provide some supplies, or even some grapes and cut-up apples for a snack. We're in the midst of our stewardship campaign right now, and of course it's important that we give financial support to the church. But stewardship is also about giving of time and talent, and our religious education program provides a perfect place to do that. There are people here who give huge, I mean huge amounts of time to other aspects of the church, and that is extremely important. And we know they don't have time to teach on Sunday as well. But even if you're heavily involved in other aspects of the church, I believe connecting in some way, small though it may be, to our children and youth is important to maintain the intergenerational character of this church. So I'm asking you to consider doing this, not just for the kids, not just for the church, but for yourself. You see, it's a two-way street. I know that the mentors and teachers, the members of this congregation that have in ways large and small interacted with our children and youth, found that they have learned so much from them, and their lives have been blessed by their relationship to a child in the community. Here at church, as crazy as it sometimes can be, I find the spirit of the children often inspire me. I know if you talk with those who teach RE or work with our youth, they'll tell you that they often get out of it as much, if not more, than they put into it. So when we are jaded or trapped in a narrow view of the world, when we're too busy to see the wonder in the little things, when we're not hearing the music of love and life, we need to find a way to connect with the spirit of the child. As much as the child needs us, as much as we have to teach and give, we also need to learn from the children in our community. No matter your age, there is a child here that can lift your spirits. So you see, we all need the village.
Thank you.